All right, we're on.
So how was Madam Web?
Not good.
Oh,
no. Hey, really needed another old pass with the editing tome.
Anyways, hello.
So I was watching Halloween the other day.
It's his episode.
Did you know that the round window and you can see his reflection?
You did win that one.
They think I can't hear him, but I can hear him. And they're being dicks.
They're like looking through a round window.
Anyway,
did that round window say?
Hello and welcome.
The window was round.
Hello and welcome.
John Doe's got the upper hand.
Previously on,
yes,
a show by Damage Control Podcasting, where one of us throws out an idea, the other three have to sell it to me, who happens to be the movie producer, and then the winner picks the next topic. So previously, as according to Daniel, previously on, we did something. What did we do? Before I went,
there were like a goddamn robbery. Is what happened.
The games.
Oh, video games. And we did video games. I won with my Game of Thrones S chess game, movie. Pirates.
But you know what? I take it back. Daniel, you won.
Hey.
Not only pirates, but it turned out to be very, very. We call it like trending now because they've just announced Pirates 6. They're getting rid of Johnny Depp.
Are they getting rid of him?
Man, I haven't seen Pirates 4 through 5. Like, it takes me so long to get
4
through
5. So you just mean 4 and 5?
Or 3 through 5.
Oh, okay.
But it takes me so long because every time... Well, I mean, I've got to watch it in like 10 minute bursts.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I get it.
I like...
I get it. Wait, I get it.
I don't...
The porn one.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good. My bad. Stagnated Revenge is a lot better.
Yeah, you watch it for the plot.
I mean, the first one has CG skeletons in it. They fucking put CG in the porn.
So you have seen it.
The first one?
Watch Stagnated Revenge.
I haven't seen
it. It's really good. There's like a giant like snake monster and like this like...
Which one is
Does
it
someone
where
get
you
fucked
can...
by it?
No.
Which is the one that you can watch where you can literally like both. Turn off the porn?
Both. They got that both feature.
I was at his house and he's like, dude, we're going to watch this movie. I'm like, what is it? And then fucking porn pops up, and I was like, no, 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 not watching this with you.
Anyway, so it's Pirates, because they just announced 6, and number 5, is that the one with Ian McShane in it?
No, that was number 4.
Oh, I like 4. Oh, yeah, 5 was the bank robbery, just like Fast and Furious, right?
Where they take the safe through town.
Yeah.
4 was all right. I like that they did the evil mermaids.
Yeah, that was cool.
How mermaids actually
Yeah, that
are.
Was cool. Anyway, so of course, obviously, there's controversy again. This is fucking nuts because it's a female. So of course,
wow.
No, yeah.
Because it's a female.
That's the controversy. Wow. Actually, the controversy is not because it's a female, because her name's Anne, who you know this. There's like a famous female pirate, Irish.
Anne Bonny.
Yeah, the Irish pirate, right?
Yeah, because she used to. There's a famous drawing where it's like her, she's some pirate defeated on the ground, and she like rips open her
blouse.
To show that she's a woman and she defeated him. So if it Karen Gillan's playing it, hopefully that scene's included.
No,
in there.
It's a black lady, which is the controversy.
Oh, so it's a what people are calling an unnecessary race swap.
I guess. I'm so exhausted with the internet that like
if you're gonna do a female, why don't you do I can't remember her name, nor could I probably pronounce it right. There was a female pirate in China. That's
the Asian,
like,
yeah, they did that.
She was in Pirates 3.
Yeah. No, but I mean like make the whole movie about her then.
Oh, I don't know. It's so exhausting. Anyway, so ignore that crap. Pirates 6. I'm one of those like asylum type. Asylum theaters, movie companies.
So you want to cash in on the success of another pirate movie by putting out a ton of pirate movies.
Yeah. So name of my studio is Parlay Scurvy, or Scurvy Parlay. It's one I ever had in my head this morning I thought was funny. Parlay Scurvy.
Neither one.
Scurvy Parlay is the name of my studio. I want to cash in on this Pirate 6. So pirates. Not only pirates, it has to have that one thing. That one thing that you're like, oh, that was the one thing.
The game breaker.
Yes.
Game changer pirate.
By the way, I love, who's it, Bron Breakker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him. I saw him in the Royal Rumble. He's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of off topic.
Does he have a pirate theme? Or
No. I just...
I mean, Kairi Sane used to. She was the pirate princess for a long time.
Ooh. No, it's just, I don't know.
She has a hell of a flying elbow.
I didn't know. Was it called the NXT Flying Dutchwoman?
That would have been a good name for it.
No, I don't remember what they called her elbow.
I don't normally give Cody compliments, but that was a good one.
Anyway, who wants to go first? To the Parlay Scurvy Studio.
Did we talk about the rules? Did I miss that? Did I disassociate during the rule section?
One of us throws out an idea. The three pitch that idea to the head of the studio, me. And I decide who picks next. Who wins? Whoever wins picks the next topic. So who's going first to Parlay Studios?
I want to go with the guy that actually has gotten his written out.
Okay.
Who's that?
Tyler.
Who? Who, me? Couldn't be. Yeah, it was me.
Okay.
Okay. So, opening of the movie.
A full script there.
Yeah. He's going to hate it. And that's kind of why I'm excited.
If it's Star Jammers, it's over.
Oh, shit. Daniel, you can go. No. So, open the movie, and it's a picture of the shoreline. You got the waves lapping up against the
sand. Is it a moving picture or just a picture?
You don't shut the fuck up, I'm going to kill you.
I thought that was a legit question.
We start the... Okay. So, you got the waves lapping up against the shore.
I'm hearing the waves hit the beach.
So, then you cut in, and you've got, pirate boots stomping in the water, and then you got a guy being drug up the shore. And he's, begging for mercy. He's like,
not very piratey, if you ask me.
You just shut up and listen.
Okay.
He's like, I'll give you my island, my gold, everything, and then you've got our main character. Now, the thing, since you get mad at me for playing the pronoun game, you don't know who our main character, we're going to refer to him as our captain. That's not his name, but we're going to...
Thank you. It just helps me, when people play the pronoun game, it makes things really confusing, because... So, by giving him at least a non de plume.
So, we're going to refer to him as our captain.
Okay.
We know. And the point of him, so when you're visualizing these shots and he's talking, you're not actually seeing him.
Wait, I have one question. I'll leave you alone. This our captain, is it the our captain from the Dead Poets Society?
No.
Okay.
No. So, like I said, he's either, if you're seeing him, from the back. Or, like, we're doing, like, a, I don't know if we want to do this, like, a Inspector Gadget type thing where, like, you can't see his face.
The captain.
Yeah. Okay. Our captain. You can't see his face.
Okay. Mysterious. Okay.
Makes sense. Okay. So they drag their captive to a tree, and they start to string him up, and you hear our captain, and he's like, we already own both. I'm trying to not read it word for word because I wrote a lot.
Is this a remake?
No.
Okay, I will make sure you're not doing the Adventures of Captain Black Savage.
It's not a remake. So
you didn't answer my question, though.
So they stand him up on the box, and now I'm trying to read. Shut up. And then so our captain, goes, San Pietro Island shall be your grave. You are only the first.
Okay.
So the captive pirate, accepts that he's going to die. He stands up straight, and he goes, I'll haunt your lives if you try to ravage.
I knew it.
And then that's when our captain pushes the box and cuts him off, and, he hangs from the tree.
Okay.
And he walks out into the tide, and he says, rest in peace, Blackjack.
Yeah, knew it.
I'm not done yet. So we transition. I'm not good at transitions. Basically, we got a whole bunch of scenes we have to splice together.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So that's the.
Well, I tell you what. We'll get the editor from Madam Web.
Can we get someone else? Because I heard that that movie wasn't very good.
We'll get the editor from. I can't think of another flop.
Let's get the editing and pacing from Memento.
Okay.
Okay. So, the next thing we have, I'm trying not to read it word by word.
No, I'm laughing at Cody. He's got some sort of smile on his face.
Well, why do you have a smile on your face?
Oh, let's just say I found a jaunty tune.
A jaunty tune? So now we're focusing on a different pirate ship.
Okay.
So, they're starting to tell story. Our captain is starting to become this this legend, this pirate killer. And, you know, they're like, you know, I
thought our captain was the one that killed what was...
Our captain is the pirate killer.
Oh, our captain killed Blackjack.
Yes, our okay. captain killed
Blackjack. All right, I got Blackjack. Confused.
So then, you know, right now we're on another pirate ship.
Okay.
Not our pirate ship, another pirate ship.
Right. So we'll refer to this other pirate ship as the other pirate ship?
There you go.
Okay.
So the other pirate ship, and then, you know, it's like that scene from the first Pirates of the Caribbean where they're like, you know, the sails so black and, you know, they're telling different stories. You know, they're like, you know, the ship moves so fast, it's like the sails burn with the fire of hell and okay. all that stuff. So then our ship comes over the yeah, there's like six pages.
Yeah, front and back.
One, two, no, six all together.
Okay.
So then our ship comes over the horizon, and, you know, our pirate captain is saying, you know, now we take the revenge and we send the crew to her depths. And, you know, we do a big scene where it's the two ships fighting back and forth. Our crew boards the Revenge.
That's the name of the boat?
That's the name of the other boat.
Right, I'm with you.
So then there's this huge fight, and then this giant hulking monstrosity of a guy comes out and just starts, like, wailing on our crew, just, you know, picking them up, throwing them over the side.
Those are my favorite characters.
You know,
the hulking
fuck, ones. let's give him absurd strength where he just grabs a guy and rips him in half.
Okay.
So then the captain challenges him, and
so the big hulking guy isn't the captain of the Revenge.
No, he's not. So he's not the captain.
Of the Revenge. He's the muscle.
Yes, he's the muscle.
I'm picturing the dude from 300.
Which dude?
The big hulking guy from 300.
Which dude?
The big hulking guy that the Persians let loose on the Spartans.
Oh yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
So. And then, you know, so the captain's engaging the big hulking guy. And then, you know, he realizes that he can't win, but he can outthink him. So he positions him, and this is the scene that I really want, where the captain's backed up against a cannon, and he pulls the cannon over and lights the fuse, and a cannonball tears through the big hulking guy, killing him.
Okay.
So then you've got then the other captain... Of the captain of the Revenge
right.
comes
I'm
out.
I'm with you.
Sorry. And so then, you know, he's upset, you know, at the big hulking guy. So the two captains start going at it. And then as they're doing it, they give their captainy banter back and forth. What?
So the two captains start going at it, and while they're doing it...
They're playing swords.
Yes. They're clashing back together.
Fencing so
far. Our captain says, you know, I heard you were the greatest swordsman that ever lived. And then the captain of the Revenge says, you know,
of course I am. I got a 12-inch stick.
Flattery will get you nowhere. And so, you know, he realizes that he's at a stalemate. Our captain isn't going to win. So he yells to his crew now, and they shove a cannon, or they shove the giant's body into the ocean. And the giants.
This is the pirates from Princess Bride?
Yes.
Okay.
So, now you figure that out. So, the Fezzik's body falls into the water. The rope has been tied to it. And our captain had led him around the ship to where that rope is around his ankle.
You do know we're a small studio. So far, you've named two Disney movies that we're going to have copyright issues with.
Shut up.
Okay.
And you said do something interesting.
Okay.
So he gets dragged to the depths. So then they claim that the Revenge. They loot it, they burn it, they sink it down.
Okay.
So next scene shifts.
Next scene.
So now we've got our ship in the middle of the water.
Okay.
And then we have
our ship in the middle of our ship. Lake.
Our ship.
I hate you.
Stop stealing my song.
So then you have this armada of I don't know, four ships. It's enough ships that they completely encircle everything.
Okay.
And, you know, the captain comes out and he's wearing all this high, fancy.
Our captain.
No.
Oh.
Not
the
our captain.
The captain of the Armada.
The captain of the Armada comes out.
Okay.
And he's wearing all this fancy regalia and everything. And he says, you know, board the ship. So hundreds of these pirates all converge on our ship.
This is Captain Hook.
No.
No.
No. All converge on our ship.
Okay.
And they start, you know, just slaughtering all the men they can see. And then, you know, all of a sudden the music changes and the Armada crew realizes that everyone aboard our ship is already dead. They've just been positioned to look a certain way. And that's when you hear a gun fire and it hits, you know, we're going to pull a Jaws. It hits a barrel and blows up our ship, just completely decimating the captain's forces. And then the captain turns around and it's our captain. Our captain had tricked him into, you know, destroying his crew, basically.
Oh, wow.
I'm liking this so far.
So.
You're in the lead.
So then, you know, our captain.
Another joke we do every time. Is,
our captain basically says, you know, we need to have a talk. You know, we request a parlay.
Okay.
Not a scurvy one, but a regular one.
Right.
So they sit down, and he's like, you know, I know everything. He's like, you've tried to keep all these secrets. Our captain is speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, you've tried to keep all these secrets. You know, I know where all your treasure is. You know, I've lived as your crew for months. He's like, there's nothing that you can hide from me. You know, I know what your plan is. You know, if you want to go ahead with your little game, he's like, that's fine by me, but you're going to give me the treasure. He's like, you know, I've killed, you know, numerous pirates, but I'm not going to kill a man who's already dying. So the pirate's like, okay, fine. He's like, you let me continue with what I have planned, then I'll give you what you want. He's like, okay, that's fine. And so at that point you hear our crew, you know, boarding the ship, and you know, as they're doing that, they're removing all of his gold. And he's like, and our captain stands up and he's like, you know, peace. He's walking out the door. And the Armada captain goes, you know, if I would have gotten away with it, you never would have been able to find my treasure. And he's like, that's probably true. Thank you for giving it to me all in one piece. Didn't like that?
I did.
No? Okay.
I did.
And so it was Gold D. Roger from One Piece.
That pirate was.
Yeah.
Not our captain.
No, not our captain.
Okay, we might be able to afford that.
So, are you doing a dark version of One Piece?
No, I'm doing a...
Multiverse.
Our pirate captain is traveling through this...
It's a multiverse of pirate verses?
It's a multiverse, not that he's traveling through different dimensions. It's just all these pirates exist
in the same scene.
In this same universe.
Is he a famous pirate?
Yes.
Pirate character or famous pirate?
Pirate character.
Is it Jack Sparrow?
No. Oh. So the next scene is our pirate captain. He's in his cabin and he's, you know, doing all that shit that captains do. I don't know. And then you have his
cabin. I see a lot of research being done on this group.
I'm trying not to read it word for word.
Okay.
We don't have, we're on time crunch.
It's one eye Willy.
And
it's
so.
It's one eye Willy, isn't it?
Shut up and let me talk. So
It is.
So we have, you know, a cabin boy in there. He's like, you know, do we have everything we need? You know, are you satisfied? And, you know, our captain's like, you know, we've taken out, you know, the Blackjack Savage. We've taken out the Dread Pirate Roberts, Gold D. Roger. He's like, I've killed the child murderer, and now his hook holds my hat. He's like, I've killed, you know, the Flint now rests on that island, and the one leg.
I don't know that reference.
Captain Flint. Treasure Island.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, and the only man that that he feared now fears me, meaning Long John Silver. He goes, everything is exactly how it should be. And then that's when you get to the climax of the film.
So so our captain is Thanos? Because everything's perfectly balanced?
No.
All right, that was a joke.
So,
no, Thanos ends up going to the cave that our captain ends up crashing his...
Fights the octopus that was really scary. So basically, he said, you know, he starts talking why he wants this. And he's like, you know, he's, you know, kings and queens, you know, dictate who rule everything because they have this. He goes, now they have nothing. Now it belongs to me. Everyone that is stolen from them, I have stolen from. And then, you know, that's when you do the huge piece where it's all these different ships from all these different countries have rallied together. And they're chasing the Inferno. Yes, it's one-eyed Willy Jackass. And so, you know, we do this, you know, the pirate ships just fighting back and forth as our captain, you know, is at the wheel navigating the rocks around what would be Astoria, Oregon. And then he gets it into the what will be, I don't know what that rooms where the ship ends up being during the event of Goonies, and you find out that cave was all planned out, like all the booby traps and everything.
He already had it set up.
Yeah, like that's where he's been hoarding all this treasure.
Like, so this is not a remake because it classifies as a prequel.
Yeah, I guess.
Now wait a minute, is this Zemeckis or Spielberg? Who did Goonies? Because Zemeckis,
Spielberg produced it. And then Richard Donner directed it.
Okay, all right. As long as Zemeckis isn't in charge, because Zemeckis says there will never be another Back to the Future as long as I'm breathing. And I guarantee you they've got the script for a new Back to the Future, and as soon as he kicks the bucket, they're going to start producing
this. We're talking about Goonies.
I know, but if Zemeckis had anything to do with Goonies, we wouldn't be able to allow to do it.
Oh, so...
Well, they're in talks of doing the Goonies, aren't they?
They've been in talks for years. So the ship ends up in the caves, and this is... all part of the plan. So, you know, in the Goonies story, you know, it's the king, the English army, navy is what seals him in the cave. He does this on purpose to hide from them. So he seals up the cave and he starts, you know, collecting the map and the copper bones and everything. And he hands it to the cabin boy and he's like, There's one exit out of here. You need to leave. You know, this crew. He's like, I know this crew. I've fought with this crew. They'll die with me. They have no patience. They don't know. You know, they're gonna kill me. They can't see. You know, three moves ahead while I'm 10 moves ahead. He goes, you need to leave now. And then he calls the cabin boy Walsh, which is the last name from Goonies. And as he's walking out, he says, remember, we never say die. And then he leaves through the exit.
I don't like that part.
And One-Eyed Willy blows up the final exit. So, of course, his crew starts to turn on him. So then you have another huge action piece where he's just slaughtering all of his men. And then,
he dies sitting down at his table.
He goes and he's wounded. He goes and sits in his chair. And then that's when, you know, you finally, I don't know if we've just framed it to where that side of his face is covered or how you do it, but he sits in his chair and you see him, you know, as you would see him in the Goonies. And we just do the time lapse effect where, you know, he just starts to kind of age and then becomes, you know, One-Eyed Willy.
Isn't there a knife in his chest in that movie?
No.
I thought there was a knife in his chest.
No, they move the helmsman over, and he's got, like, two knives in his eyes, I think.
Oh, the helmsman. Okay, yeah. Okay.
And then right before the movie ends, you've got Mike Walsh's voiceover.
Is that Sean Astin?
Yeah, okay. Where he's talking to One-Eyed Willy. And then the very last thing is where Mike Walsh says, you know, they're going to go steal the gold. And he's like, no, leave that. Leave that for Willy. And then credits.
Then after credit scene, he stands up on the ship as it's out on the water. My plan finally came to fruition. I rise again.
And then Cyndi Lauper's playing in the background.
Good enough. Time after time.
Who's playing One Eye Willie?
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren?
I was being serious. Dolph Lundgren.
I don't want him to be a tall...
Why Dolph Lundgren?
...guy. I want him to be more of a shorter guy, like an unexpected guy that's this badass.
Okay, so if we...
Rowan Atkinson.
If we have to spend the money to get all those rights, we need an unknown. Especially if you're not going to see him for 99% of the entire movie.
So we get a voice actor. Because we need a bomb-ass voice still.
Who's the dude that does all the Star Wars voice acting?
A lot of them? The voice Starkiller?
Yeah. Sam something, isn't it?
Oh, shit. What is his name? He's a huge nerd, too. I don't know. Yeah, I can see that. He's probably in his mid to late 30s.
Oh, it's got to be an older gentleman?
I'm not saying it's got to be older, but...
Like, what age range are you seeing Willie here?
I'm saying, like...
40.
Late 30s, early 40s.
Late 30s, early 40s. Okay. Daniel, what are you thinking? He's been quiet, because I know he's trying to figure out his movie.
We're doing a famous voice actor who's kind of nerdy, I would say Stephen Bloom.
Which is?
He wasn't the original voice of Wolverine, but he was like a lot of the Wolverine voices. And ooh. Then I think he also did, I think he was Hiro Yui in Gundam Wing.
So he's
got original. That gruff voice that we're sort of looking for.
He's the original 97 Wolverine?
No, he's all the Wolverines after that one.
Oh, okay.
That one's a different voice actor, but okay. He did like Wolverine in Evolution, and I believe he was the Wolverine in X-Men and the Wolverine, and a couple of the other Wolverines, I think, if I remember correctly. I have no idea what the man actually looks like, but if you're going for a voice. I believe it's Steve Bloom. B-L-U-M. Or Steve Blum.
Okay. He'd be unexpected.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't need to be, like, terrifying.
Well, that's the idea. Like,
he uses his brains more than his brawn.
Yeah.
And, like, and that's the most terrifying thing about him. He's so unexpected. It's like... Who's captain here? And nobody even notices him until he stabs him through the heart.
Well, that was the point of the Goldie Roger one, where, you know, he's so unassuming that he's able to
just infiltrate the crew
on this crew, and no one knows.
So are we deep faking like Andre the Giant, and are we deep faking Blackjack?
Yeah.
So we're just gonna get the actor who from the live action one. Was Goldie Roger in the live action One Piece?
There was a Goldie actor.
So we'll just get him. Then we'll deep fake the. Is that the Revenge? Is the name of the actual ship from that?
Yeah, you don't actually see it. That's just the name of the ship.
And the Inferno is actually from Goonies.
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't know what ships were from.
So are we keeping this a Goonies prequel all the way up until like opening night when like rumors start going out?
I don't want anyone to know until they watch it. Like we're gonna pay hush money to IMDb, not to post, you know, anything as to who these people are.
Okay.
Like we'll just refer to One-Eyed Willie as the captain.
I like it.
I tried to find a Transformers reference I could use, and apparently there is a pirate-y Transformer. It's like Thunder. Thunder something. He's got like a peg leg. And, like, he looks like he has a beard and, like, a pirate-style coat.
Yeah, okay.
But I was like, I can't figure out how to work this in to where...
He'd have been a hard one to fit in.
To where it, like, wouldn't be, like...
Like an old-school, like, automaton.
Yeah, but we're not, like, going
high. Well, I was trying to figure out, like, a way to, like, use his name as, like, a different pirate captain or something like that.
I got bad news for you. You know I hate the Goonies.
So. That's why I said I knew you would like it. I
fucking hate that movie.
Why?
Probably because we watched it.
Because it's my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, so he does it just to spite you.
Yeah.
So Tyler didn't win, so Cody, Daniel.
We used to watch it at my grandparents, but they taped it on TV, and they missed like the first 10 minutes. So it wasn't until we got our own VHS copy I knew about like the jailbreak scene or anything like that.
That gives me memories.
Okay, I'll go.
All right.
Okay. So we're going to open our pirate movie with scenes of kind of a classic, like, wooden ship, you know, sailors passing by. It's kind of a cloudy, like, stormy day, but not raining yet, like that right pre-storm kind of day. And it's going to be, you know, we're going to... I want the captain of this ship to be, I think, the main character from Yellowstone.
Skip? Kevin Costner? Skip or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know his name, but
he's... The younger dude?
Yeah, kind of younger, stocky, beard.
Rip.
Rip. What did I say? Skip?
He's the one that's, like, married to the really crazy wife.
Right.
Yeah. I forgot the actor's name. He's actually related to the original Warner Brothers.
Yeah. So that's the main character we're going to grab. Okay. And we're going to spend the first 5 minutes or so getting to know the crew. Like, he's going to pass around, and we're going to talk to some of the guys who, you know, they're rigging up ship and moving stuff around. And this is going to be kind of an obvious maritime vessel. And we're just kind of setting the scene for the first 10 minutes or so. And then there's going to be another ship off the horizon. And they're going to start getting kind of antsy and looking at through the binoculars, and they're going to be checking that out. And eventually we're going to see where they're steering the ships to a course to meet.
Okay.
And shortly beforehand, they meet, our captain is going to look and say, hoist the colors. And then we're going to see like that classic flag swap with the pirate flag. And we're going to get kind of this quick action-y raid type of scene where they get to the boat, they're swinging across, doing that kind of classic pirate stuff. There's going to be murder and robbery and all this quick stuff with this merchant vessel.
Lots of anal.
And then we're going to kind of cut away to where the storm clouds are picking up and we're starting to get some rain. And our captain is going through the cargo hold and going through, like, the different boxes and crates they pulled out of the merchant vessel. And they're going to crack open a crate and pull out this, like, jade or maybe, like, a black obsidian, like, statue that is of, like, this voluptuous woman with a fish head.
Okay.
Right?
Wait, so the opposite of a mermaid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, like, they're going to be like, whoa, what's this? It's going to be worth something when we get to the mainland, blah, 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 blah. And about this point, there's lightning bolt, crash of thunder, ship starts shaking from the waves, and someone drops the statue.
Okay.
And a different guy picks it up, and there's like kind of a little chip or like kind of crack in it, and they set it back on the in the crate, and the storm has just picked up out of nowhere, and crazy rain, lightning starts crashing down.
And this is a dude from Yellowstone's ship.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And eventually, the storm is getting too bad, and the captain gives orders like, "Hey, we need to make land. Find the nearest piece of land and we're going to wait the storm out." So they find like this little alcove and this little island, and they pull the ship into port, and massive storm still raging outside, and they're trying to make, okay, we're going to make camp, let's get the food, let's take inventory and all this kind of stuff. And as they're making and setting things up, we're going to start getting like scenes from underwater, like something's watching them. And the guy who picked up the statue after it dropped, we're going to start following him around through the scenes a lot. And one of the things is that he's going to be, what he think is having some sort of reaction to the island, like something, he's allergic to something.
Okay.
Because he's scratching at like his hands a lot, like his hands are itching, he's going to scratch at his neck some. And the next morning when we pick up, the storm's still going to be raging, and this guy, we're going to follow him as he like walks over to the water, and he looks down into the water, and there's like this fish thing looking back at him, and he's gonna like scratch at his neck, and he's gonna like pull chunks of his neck away and reveal that like he's got gills starting to form.
Okay.
And like he looks down and like his fingers are starting to web up, and he's kind of going through like this horrible transformation kind of thing. And our fish from the lake is going to reach up and grab him and pull him into the water. And from here, we're going to kind of do like that classic horror movie hunt kind of thing, where we find a couple characters, we find them on the in the cove somewhere, and then this fish monster will come out of like left field or something like that. And every time we see our fish guy, he's getting a little bit more fishy. He's getting a little bit more scales, a little bit more gills, a little bit more fins. And he's, you know, kind of hunting down the crew. And eventually our captain's going to find out, hey, shit's going south, what's going on? And he's going to start tearing through the crates looking for some sort of weapon to fight whatever's going on. Because, I mean, they've got their swords and their flintlocks, but apparently it's not doing any good. Okay. People are still dying. So he started ripping through, and he gets into the crate with the statue and starts digging through the crate and finds like an old like leather-bound journal. And he starts like opening it up and pulling it out, and he starts seeing like these kind of floppy, lopsided stars on like the cover. Okay. And like on the front few pages, and every few pages there'd be like some little talk, and then like the next page will have one of these kind of floppy stars. And then he keeps flipping through, and eventually he finds like a hand sketching of our statue, and in the bottom it says Dagon at the bottom of the statue. So as he's like, what the fuck is Dagon?
Yeah, because he's in public domain, right?
Probably.
Okay.
He's going to do a little bit more research and find out that like this idol is like a Caribbean
is idol. Dagon Cthulhu?
It is Lovecraftian, yeah.
Okay. Like, but Cthulhu is a separate thing than Dagon, right?
Yeah, they're different elder gods.
Okay.
And he's going to find that like there's been some research done on this statue, and this is like a Caribbean statue dedicated to Dagon, and they, you know, kind of sexualized it up. And he takes the book and is kind of rummaging through, and he's like, you know, Dagon mutates people around him, turns them into these fish creatures, and like that's how he gets his followers, and there's no cure and all of that. So he's going to go out to try and save the rest of his crew, and we're going to have a big confrontation between him and the fish monster.
Okay.
The first fish monster, or the dude that turns into
the dude that turned into the fish monster. And there's going to be this big conflict. You know, the swords aren't working, the flintlock's not working, and we're still losing crewmates, and we get everyone on the boat, and the final bit of the battle is taking place on the bridge of the boat, and finally the captain like wheels one of the cannons around, and the fish creature takes the cannon to the chest and goes flying off the boat, and he gives orders, is like, you know, we can't stay here. We don't know if it's going to keep it down. You know, set sail. We'll brave the storm. So that the few guys who are left, they drop the sail and they go sailing into the storm that's still raging on. And we're going to get kind of like after climax kind of respite for a minute where like, okay, everything's okay. The storm's still going, but it's not nearly as bad. We can make this work. We'll sail to Jamaica or Puerto Rico or whatever. And, then we're going to see where, like, the storm starts to break, and we get just a hint of sunlight for just a moment, and then, like, there's a whirlpool around the ship, and someone's going to shout, "It's the Kraken!" And we're going to see, like, these massive, like...
Yes!
These tentacles start to rise up out of this whirlpool and kind of start wrapping around the ship, and so that we're... You know, some fruitless slashing at it. And instead of being pulled down, the ship, like, rises up. And we're going to have this massive, like... It's going to be Cthulhu that is like rising up from the sea with his tentacles from his mouth and chin wrapped around the ship, holding like the ship.
Right.
And we're going to see the original fish creature like swimming around him. And we're going to end with the scene of like the ship being broken in half. And like we're going to cut to black as soon as the thing breaks. And we're going to lead into the credits by just hearing like the screams of the people on the ship. Like everyone who's left, we're just going to be like this cacophony of screams. And we're going to slowly build that into the song and our credits will play.
Okay.
All right. That's my pitch for a pirate movie.
So we got Oz Pitcher, and once you said, what's his name?
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu. I picture black and white. I think it'd be creepier.
Could be.
No?
Could be fine in black and white. Okay. I mean, I've done a lot of black and white stuff lately, so my instinct wasn't to do black and white, but we can definitely do like a black and white scene.
Cause that shit,
or like wash out the color a lot when he starts to rise.
Because that shit terrifies me, man. The scene in Little Mermaid when Ursula is that giant monster.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Mm.
So what is... And I don't know anything about that universe. What does Dagon have to do with...
Cthulhu.
So they're an interconnected Cthulhu. Like, they're Lovecraftian, are, like, connected.
Uh-huh.
And Cthulhu, like, rests below the sea and waiting for people to... like to rise, like to bring him up.
So
the idea is that Dagon is like mutating, creating people for sacrifices for
okay, to bring Cthulhu out. Gotcha. That's what I thought, but I didn't know if it was like if Dagon was supposed to be like the red herring monster, and then Cthulhu was the
Not so much red herring monster, because like the original sea creature is supposed to be like an emissary of Dagon.
So he's kind of like the mouthpiece while he sleeps, right?
Right. Okay. Well, in this movie, he is. I'm not sure about an actual gotcha. Lovecraftian mythos, but...
So who's going to play the fish monster? Or we don't see Dagon, do we?
He never speaks. We're going to see, like, a CG of him.
Okay.
We're going to make him on... Like, we're going to make, like, a Black Lagoon... Creature from the Black Lagoon-like creature.
Okay.
Hmm. Which is ultimately what we're going to have our fish man kind of look like at the end, is kind of a...
The dude that's slowly turning into a...
Yeah, into a creature of the Black Lagoon.
So are we only going to ever have one person turning into a fish monster, or is he going to slowly get other people turning too?
No, I think we're just going to do the one. I don't think we need like a whole horde. I think we're going to do the one and turn it into like a monster slasher kind of movie.
Scarier with just one.
Unless you're in a gangbang, then it's really scary with more.
Why?
Who's
well, it wouldn't be a gangbang if it was just one.
Right.
I mean, just a bang.
Who's
self-bang?
Who are we getting? So we're getting Rip. He was in a famous movie before Yellowstone.
He was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but he's like in a famous 1980s movie. Look it up. He played like a goober. And now he's playing like a badass. So we got Rip. Who are we playing the dude that turns into a monster?
I want someone who, like...
Steve Buscemi.
I want to put it out here. I don't want us to just go classically to the guy that does Abe Sapien and all that stuff. I feel like he's got enough on his plate. Let's get somebody new.
Actually, he hasn't done anything in a while.
Like, he wasn't even on my radar until you said that.
I didn't want him to immediately go there, because he goes there a lot.
His name is Cole Hauser. He was in Too Fast, Too Furious, Good Will Hunting.
No, Cole Hauser is not Rip.
Cole Hauser is too Rip.
Fuck off. Let me see a picture. That is not...
Yeah, that's the guy, I think.
Let me see. I know who Cole Hauser is. There's no way that's
Rip.
And
he was in Dazed and Confused.
That's who I'm thinking of. Dazed and Confused.
Same guy.
Cole Hauser.
He pitched black. Holy shit, isn't it? Man, he looks different. Did he have plastic surgery?
He probably just got older.
Let me call and ask him.
Would you?
Yeah, give me my phone so I can call and ask him.
Yeah, dude, he don't look anything like...
Yeah, that's what happens as you age.
You know, how about like a Stephen Amell?
Okay.
To play our fish man. I kind of like that idea.
That'd be casting against type, because they would expect, man, he got big. They'd be expecting him to survive.
Yeah.
And not be, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he does survive in the most brutal way possible.
Well, he takes a cannon to the chest and we leave the survival up to the question mark.
So are we? Do we see what's his face at all, or just the tentacles? His mouth tentacles.
Cthulhu? Oh yeah. No, we're gonna get that final set piece. We're gonna spend all the CGI budget on that one, okay. Where you get to see him rise up from the water and with the ship hanging from the tentacles, and yeah, Can't, we're gonna get.
Well,
that.
Daniel won. Cody, do you want to go?
Well, give me a sec. I want to add on to Daniel's real quick. Like, can we before the tentacle crack? Can we have the guy in the crow's nest go say, like, I barely see land, Captain, through the storm. Like, just the faintest hope of survival.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
You're up.
Boy. All right.
So okay. It starts with this song.
It starts with the song.
No. Okay, we open up. This captain.
So it all happened when I was six. Oh, different opening up, sorry.
Okay, so we open up. A captain of a ship is being about to be thrown overboard because he has led his crew into dead waters. And they feel if they sacrifice the captain to the ocean, it will appease it. Okay. And he says something along the lines, you know, the lowest circle in hell is those for traitors and whatnot. And then out of nowhere, a whirlpool happens.
You can't blah, blah, blah your threat to your crew.
Yes, you, I can.
You mean you don't want something like somehow Palpatine returned?
Yeah, basically. Somehow.
And then a whirlpool opens up in the water, and he's like trying to catch himself before he falls in, but he falls in. Next thing you know, another portal opens up in the sky, and
Living
he falls.
In the land of the lost.
And he falls. And he thinks he's going to hit water, but he hits ground. And he looks up, there's just fields and fields of grass and wheat. And he's like,
grass and what?
Wheat.
Wheat. Gotcha. That is not
And then he
what
looks
I heard.
Up and he's like, this surely must be hell. And he looks over and sees a strange house. And he gets closer, he sees that it's a farmhouse. And this little boy comes out.
Is it a moisture farmer? What the...
And he's like,
I don't know, he's smiling. Something stupid.
Not a lot of grass and wheat on a moisture farm.
Something dumb's about to happen.
Anyway, he said he found a song, so I'm trying to...
He's got this Cody stupid look on his face.
And so when he gets up the house and looks around, a little boy comes out. And he's like, wow, you're from pirate days. He's like, and he asks the little boy, where am I? He's like, you're in Nebraska.
you said that like that would put all the pieces together for us.
Okay, so as people, so we have pirate adventure on the Great Plains, and so come to find out that Jesse James had some treasure hidden, and the pirate knows the language Jesse knew as well because he was a true explorer.
Wait,
and then we're gonna have Tim Curry play the pirate.
I don't know if that's going to go so well for you.
Why?
Tim Curry's not in the best of health.
I know. We're going to deep fake it.
Okay.
Wait, you guys really haven't gotten it yet?
No.
Wow. Okay. I thought this was more known. No, this is not my movie pitch. This is actually a movie that exists already.
Oh, what is
it? It's called Pirates on the Plains. Tim Curry gets sent to Nebraska and has an adventure. It's a, like... family-friendly comedy adventure with this little boy. They're trying to find Jesse James.
He goes, Nebraska.
Yeah,
I really thought you guys would get it.
Even heard of it.
What?
Yeah,
we watch good movies. Anyway, what's your movie?
No, it's hard to have a bad Tim Curry movie.
Yeah, I thought I'd give it away as soon as I said Tim Curry, but literally none of you got that?
No.
You guys
no.
never seen that?
Because I was thinking... Muppet Treasure Island when you said Tim Curry.
Well, that's the thing. He did that one as well.
I know he did.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next pitch. Okay, look, Treasure Island, but with puppets. All right, fine. I guess my joke fell flat.
Why are puppets called Muppet? Is there a reason?
It's about the construction and like how they're operated.
I don't
so
even
like puppets,
see
I
that
believe,
movie.
I think have to have your hand inside.
Of the plane.
Muppets are controlled with like a series of sticks and pulleys underneath.
Huh.
All right. I guess since my joke fell flat, God,
there was a joke.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like a revelation. Like this is a movie, Cody, already because I thought. You guys, but maybe it was just
okay,
the wrong
all right, hold on. Rewind. Give me the Nebraska line one more time.
We're in Nebraska.
He's doing Pirates of the Planet.
Oh, Pirates of the Planet, classic Tim Curry movie. Oh,
yeah, my God. Yeah.
Everyone knows that movie.
Oh my God, I watched that movie just this morning.
Yeah, come on, you Muppet, do your actual.
All right, fine. All right, we go. We cut to a ship bouncing and rocking on these raucous waves as you see, looking around, it's like twilight, the blue color in the sky, and they're just looking around and they're just plundering from going from island to island.
And how fast is this boat going if they're going from this
pretty point? Fast, surprisingly. Yeah. And then you see the captain really seems the only one that actually animatedly doing anything, just like, all right, yeah, do this, do that. And the crew just sort of just going about tasks, like, with expert efficiency. Like, not even, like, fucking around, just the captain says, do this, and it happens.
Okay.
And just going back and back. And they're on the run on this high sea because it looks like some enforcers are coming up from behind them. And then they're like, we'll go to this unprotected island over here. And then a firewall pops up in front of them. And like, oh, it's too protected. We'll have to go to another server.
So is this like a visual of...
I'm thinking like a Tron pirate aesthetic.
Okay.
Where you have the captain being the only one actually doing anything is a hacker. Going, you know, like, I'm setting like 1990s, late 1980s of the ocean of data across the internet and all the so he's like just farming data or pirating it. He's got like movies before they even got the special effects from Hollywood that he's watching X-Men movie without any of the green screen effects applied yet.
Wolverine Origins.
Can you set it in the 2000s era and have his ship be called Napster?
I'm going to say Napster, no.
Well, I mean, Napster was around in the late 90s.
Oh, I don't remember him.
Oh, yeah, it was. I was totally pirating music off of Napster.
I remember we downloaded the Blink-182 First Date music video and it took like 3 days.
You know what's cooler than Napster? $1 billion.
We can call it LimeWire.
Or something.
You mean
like
computer aids?
But I'm not thinking like this big pirate agency. He's a free solo hacker. So his boat's relatively smaller. His system's relatively small. And he's
it's all about size.
Yeah, and he's sword fishing through the interwebs.
Sword fishing?
Yeah, the sword, that classic hacker movie, Swordfish.
You get to see Halle Berry's boobs.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually part of the plot is he's trying... It's going to be like a main plot behind the movie. He's trying to pirate the movie Swordfish before it hits theaters.
Well, then it can't be...
As sort of like a piracy joke that he's going to steal rights to a piracy or internet hacker movie before it actually gets released.
Okay. Are you just pulling this out of your ass as you...
No, this is legit my idea. I just don't know how to put it into words like you guys.
No, I like it. And there's got to be a scene at, like, the very end, like, as soon as he gets it. Like, he has got to, like, break that final firewall, get in, and see the Swordfish movie in front of him. And he's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And there has to be that, like, because, like, we're going to be waiting for that line for the entire movie.
Yeah, until we actually get to the end. Like, we have pictures of the console or whatnot, him working at his 8-bit computer or something. So it looks like a system that he threw together that didn't just buy off the shelf. So it's got like 15 towers of just slave motherboards or hard drives, and I have no technical knowledge of this. And
that's
and that's what I'm going to be like prominent in the movie because I'm just going to be making up terms.
So like it's got like a Ready Player One type aesthetic.
No, I'm talking Tron, like original Tron level special effects.
Okay.
Because I want that to be like the prologue thing. I like it. I want him to think. It's like the delusion is this guy thinks he's cooler than he actually is. because we're gonna have the swordfish. I'm Adam in, as
the... dude. You know how we need to play the main character, Jake Johnson.
No, it's gotta be someone who's like not very cool that people tend to think is cool.
Jake Johnson,
like Thomas Jane.
Oh, you fucking dick.
Well, the thing is, I need a younger person because the final scene of when he finally gets swordfish and I'm in, he's going to hear, Tommy, come down for dinner.
Oh, you're going to hate this idea because I know you, but you know who the perfect cast for this is?
I thought of it too. I really did.
Michael Cera?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love Michael Cera.
No, you hate Michael
no,
Cera.
No, I hate Jesse Eisenberg. I love Michael Cera.
You know who? No, fuck Michael okay, Cera. You know who should right. we get? All right. Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, Jesse Eisenberg is who I also thought of for the role, and I was like, oh, he'd fucking be perfect for it, and yeah. I'd like it because it'd be demeaning him.
Yeah. So one of those two.
So you're like somehow this is like Harvey Weinstein type evilness. I want to put him in my movie just to demean him.
I don't want to deny or confirm, but there'd be some other scenes in there where, like, his systems get hacked and his mother works right, and he's like, fuck! Damn it!
So when he gets hacked, that's like him being attacked.
Yeah.
Visually.
Or yeah, like, or he gets blocked or a firewall happens, he's like, oh, I got locked out of the system.
So what is the tone of this? Is this like a Steven Spielberg type action movie where it's...
No. It is completely going to be played like heightened reality of where, like, he thinks it's cooler than what he's actually doing, but at the end of the day, all of his hard work is literally to see a movie that comes out next week before everybody else. Like, that's going to be the final thing. Like, he literally, the time and effort he spends into trying to get what he actually accomplished, he literally could have just waited. Because he's not the type that's going to go around and sell the movie back because he's too scared of getting caught that way. Of, like, actually selling the data that he's illegally got, so it's just literally for his enjoyment that he's doing this stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't want to be like, in the day, like, it's like, oh, now that I got this data, now I'm going to make a ton of bootlegs to sell on the street, because he's too scared to do that.
So if he thinks he's cool, but he's not, is like his pirate name going to be 69 at 420?
Yeah, it's going to be some absurd face, like the true short fish, or some, like...
Big so, Dick 69.
Swordfist 360 No Fish.
Yes. Or something like along those lines. And it's going to be absurd because his crewmates on his ship on the Internet Ocean have to refer to him as his full name. So dialogue's going to be half of his fucking username. And so, how I described it, like, he's got to physically get the program started to do what they need to be doing because nothing's automated to that level yet in his system. So it's just a lot of him just sort of like getting to come across like predetermined responses, like where he's got like a yes man, like, oh, you're the best, yeah, da, 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 whatever his name is going to be in the end. And just that's all he does because he needs that constant affirmation of what he's doing is cool because nobody knows who he is.
So you're doing this late 90s. So does that mean can you include a scene where you just have his mom be like, you need to get offline. I'm waiting on a phone call.
Yeah, and that's going to be like a halfway point. He's almost got the data he wanted, and his system just goes on. And he's like, Mom, what the hell? I was online. I'm expecting a call from your Aunt Roberta.
God, this mom is getting older and older every time.
She's an angry Jewish mom.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's my idea. And then it's going to end with, yeah, that scene of like, yeah, I got it. And then come down for dinner. And he's like, gotta wait until after dinner. And then it's the ending credit scene. It's him doing the dishes. Mom, I said I got some. You know the deal. If you want internet time, you gotta do your chores.
Her accent keeps changing.
Like I said, I'm not the best. It's just going to be like that. It's going to be the twist and all this piracy stuff. Because you're going to see all in his room just pirated like old TV shows that he's somehow gotten. And then you're going to get like even fake titles like the Scrap Fantastic Four movie that they made just to keep the IP right. Did you ever hear that story? So you're going to have like, oh yeah, that's the super cool. It's the knockoff. It's the unreleased Fantastic Four movie or stuff like that.
I feel like there's got to be some sort of, like, reference to Pirate Bay in there.
I'm not certain what that is.
No, so Pirate Bay was a internet forum where people would pirate things like movies and then post them on Pirate Bay for, like, a file exchange.
And that's his end goal. That's where he needs to go. That's where the X is.
Okay, yeah. So after he gets the Swordfish movie before anybody else does, because he's somehow able to do it, it's like he's got to be the first one to get it on there or else he doesn't get the credit for it.
Yeah, like Pirate Bay was like the origination of like a lot of like the file swap stuff. So like none of it's stored on Pirate Bay. All it is a bunch of links that then link crossways to other like servers and stuff.
So it's the like
file is stored.
So it could be like eternally, like if we equipped it to like Pyre thing, it'd be like, oh, I got this map to this data.
Yeah, kind of. The whole thing is small enough to fit on a floppy disk.
Ah.
So like every time that the Pirate Bay was found, they would bring it down, put it on a floppy, and then they couldn't trace it. They couldn't find it. And then after a certain amount of time, it would come back up, and then the internet would explode with people going to Pirate Bay until it got caught again.
What finally took it down? Or is it still out there?
I want to say it got brought down because it stopped being interesting when basically they legalized what was going on there. It stopped being illegal to file swap, and with like BitTorrent being super popular and stuff like that, I think that kind of killed the fun of it, so it stopped being a thing. And then I think the guy who owned it got tired of getting harassed by the police and the FBI and all that.
Huh.
Yeah, because it was completely unregulated. You could find anything on Pirate Bay as long as it got posted.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's sort of like the atmosphere of the movie I want to portray.
All right.
Okay, if that doesn't work, I got a futuristic treasure planet in space.
how about a Star Jammer?
Compared to a futuristic treasure planet on... not in space?
Yeah, because you go through portals on this planet.
Huh? Okay.
Triangle-shaped portal, so he could be anywhere.
I got bad news.
What?
I got bad news. I hate the Goonies. I love the idea, except I don't like the Goonies. And you know I don't like lighthearted stuff.
Well, what the fuck am I supposed to do, Adam? I don't like dark stuff, so I don't like presenting it.
Hey, at least
so we have a conflict of interest here.
At least I realized that Adam wasn't going to pick me before... I believe I said it when you,
no.
Like, right when you said, oh, it's we're going to do pirates. I'm like, know what I'm going to do? Adam's not going to pick me.
No, wait a minute. I don't want to win by default. I actually want to win because my shit's good.
Well, like, hang on.
He's got a hard-on for Cthulhu. The second you said that.
I know. That's what I was going for. But, like, he opens it up with, well, I hate both of your ideas, so Daniel has to win, I guess.
I know.
That's the Tipton way to do things.
I know, right? Like,
I love sea creatures.
It's just like when you and I are in the bedroom, and you're like, I don't like those two holes, so I'm going this direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And you guys know that the most terrifying, my biggest fear are things... emerging.
Friendship.
So, you know what the best type of ship is?
What?
Friendship.
Do you know, what's a pirate's favorite letter?
P.
Everyone knows their only love is the sea.
Thank you. Daniel, you win.
So like the image of, just you talking about it, like, freaked me out. The image of the tentacles coming up out of the water, like that scene in Little Mermaid.
Then why do you like tentacles?
So, to win anything you ever post again, I just have to make a creature emerging underneath water.
Or
so,
dark with no humor. I've said that hundreds of times.
So, Cody, next time it's Adam's doing it, just be like, blah, 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 tentacles, blah, 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 water, blah, 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 no humor. And then I'll be like, oh my God, it's amazing.
Basically.
And then have your main character named Adam, played by Thomas Jane. And he'll just, like, explode.
Actually, yeah.
And you got to have the same...
No, I think I'm going to do the exact opposite. I'm going to keep doing the most lighthearted movies possible until he finally gives me the win. And then I will...
I've given you the win before.
Not for a lighthearted movie, I don't think.
Well, what did I give you the win for?
The last time that... Like, I think it was the historical smash-up. You liked his Jesus coming of age Michael movie Cera with one. The Michael Cera Jesus coming of age movie.
Oh yeah, so you did. So
yeah, so it's almost like you're almost like you're complaining about nothing.
No, but he said like, oh, you know, I don't like lighthearted stuff, mm-hmm. and like,
well, yeah. I love Ancient Gods. I love. I can't even say his name.
Cthulhu.
Daniel kind of hacked the system, if you were on that one, and
not intentionally.
And I like creature features, dude. So like, I want to see this movie.
No, okay. It's all right.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It's cool.
Happy to. Daniel, they seem
very. So this is my last podcast.
Oh, thank God! I've been wanting to quit for so long. Did you know when I first started, I thought I was only going to be on one episode, and it's been fucking like 10 years.
Don't
say that. You're stealing my origin story.
Because the second that we get in the truck, Adam's going to be like, do you think Daniel really wants to quit the podcast? Then I'm going to have to hear about it for like the next mile to his house.
The next mile, like there's more than one.
Yes.
So, you won.
Yay, I win.
Yep.
Thanks.
Wait, what are we calling the title?
I don't know. Like the Black Idol or something. Like
Pirates
that.
On the Plains.
Sea of Arkham. Seas of Arkham Seas.
I almost want like Arkham to be like a more subtle
thing. Arkham's the name of the boat.
Yeah. Okay. What about Shadows Over the Caribbean?
Yeah, okay. As like a spinoff of Shadows Over
Innsmouth. Yeah, okay. Yeah, because Shadows Over Innsmouth is also a big one with the Deep Ones and Dagon.
No. Not over. Under.
Shadows Under the Caribbean. All right, that's fine. I like that, too.
Under the Caribbean, man. Yosh.
Yosh.
All right. John Doe has the upper hand. That's the only impression I could do. Shut up, Cody.
I like that impression.
What's it an impression of?
This. Get it?
It's an impression.
Yeah.
That's awesome on a podcast where you hear things.
Yep. We need to get a goddamn face cam up in here. All right. Anyway, so thank you, everyone. I appreciate you picking my movie, even though these two kind of made it feel like it was just kind of a default win because somebody had to win.
It was.
Yeah.
Tyler knew he wasn't going
to win. Well, it doesn't help when he opens up with that. What are we supposed to do? I enjoyed your movie. Like, I get the scenes of, like, rain happening through like a jungle island and whatnot, and something going through and hunting now. Like, I get it. It's just like when he opens up with that, what are we supposed to do?
No, that's totally fair because Adam's like, well, I hated the other two, so I guess someone has to win.
Yeah, like, so, we all had good movies this time, I think.
If I could have just changed mine to where it wasn't one I would, if it wasn't the Goonies.
Yeah, I don't like the Goonies.
Like, and that's just heartbreaking.
It's not about the Goonies. It's about one.
But it's because it's lighthearted.
But you know what? By an inch or a mile, I still won. I'm better than the both of you, so I'll take it.
That is saying a lot. Not saying a lot at all.
No, not really. But I feel like I got
pretty good
wins.
Things this time.
I thought your first pitch was better. It sounded I could see the movie.
Well, because it was a real movie.
Okay. So
the title for my movie is going to be Swordfished.
Yeah, so the honor of the next movie goes to me, and we all know that.
You know what the worst type of pirate ship is?
What
the worst type of ship is?
What?
Censorship.
No, I feel like that is needed sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's needed a lot of times.
Mm.
It is.
No.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think so.
Yeah, agree or disagree.
Anyway, so right now, currently,
what were we talking about?
There's I'm trying to release my topic here for next week, or next time. So in cinema right now, there's a lot of nostalgia happening.
Okay,
and we're gonna try and make everybody happy, right?
Oh, fuck.
So the people on the internet complain so much about remakes of their favorite films, right? But new IPs just don't make money.
That's true.
So what we're going to do is we're going to find some garbage, crap films
Goonies.
That people know, but no one really likes.
Goonies,
and the goal
Pirates
is for you three
plane.
To remake, reshoot, reboot that movie. That movie that we can do anything with and no one's going to care because no one's a fan of it.
Except that one guy.
Except for maybe that one guy. And we're not talking about obscure movies. Ideally, they should be movies that all of us are going to recognize. So it's not like Pirates of the Plains. Right. You know, it's going to be something like where...
I legitimately thought that was a more known film.
Right, where the three of us would recognize the movie.
Okay.
So something like we talked about Madam Web. So I'm going to disavow Madam Web. But something like Madam Web, where everyone pretty much who has seen it has gone, yeah, that's pretty garbage. And we don't really have any diehard Madam Web fans.
And it has to be garbage. We can't remake... Well, obviously, we can't remake something good. It's got to be garbage.
Right.
Okay.
The idea is it's got to be a bad movie. It's got to have either bad reviews. It's got to have made no money. It has to have been something shit.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right. I like this idea.
Okay. So...
I gotta make sure you dark one with no humor.
Yeah, make sure you check in next week or next episode for our recycled movie ideas. In the meantime, make sure you check out new episodes of Damage Control Podcasting every Monday on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasts, including The Ridge, Dead Air, and Previously On, which you've just been listening to. Also, make sure you follow us on social media. So check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and on X. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you very much for listening. Adam, push the button.